Hey Sudbury, Dave Kurt, broker of record with Lake City Realty, coming at you with another episode of the Sudbury Real Estate Podcast. Every week, but I just love my time that I get to share with you guys, spend 15 minutes or so on the mic, just chat about what's going on in the Sudbury marketplace, what's my thoughts, what's going on in my personal life for those that give even two cares about what I'm up to on a weekly basis. But again, just want to say first and foremost, thank you for spending the time with me. But as I sat back and I kind of gave some thought to what I wanted to chat about this week, it was like shorter nights and cooler mornings. That's kind of been the theme of it for me over the last little bit. And I remember sitting on my deck this morning with my cup of coffee in my hand, making some notes about what I wanted to chat about. There was literally steam rolling off the lake. And as much as these are all signs that the summer's slipping away, I absolutely love this closing chapter of the summer months. It just feels different than the rest of the summer. And it's like, sure, it's sand that's slipping between our fingers, but it just also feels so awesome. I love a cold night going to bed. I love that cool, crisp morning. So I get excited about every single time of the year, but this time especially, this like 2 week span that we're going to have before school kicks into gear and things like that is one that I'm truly enjoying. This week on my family front, it's been extra busy in the best possible way. A lot of people that follow me know that that family is one of the most important things in the world to me, and getting involved with my kids is definitely one of the things that I hold dear and I prioritize. This week we had the end of soccer though, so I've been coaching soccer with my brother-in-laws all of the cousins coming together and play with the soccer teams this year, which has been awesome, but it's so welcome to see that soccer ends. But we've also been in hockey camp with my two older kids this week. It feels like very eerily like some foreshadowing of what my next 5 or 6 months is going to look like, spending time at the rink. I know I didn't enjoy thoroughly, but I would like the actual waking up and being at the arena, you know, at 7 a.m. Saturday and Sunday every single weekend last year, being there for all three kids and then coming home, just trying to fit that in my schedule. But at the same time, I got to coach two of my kids' hockey teams. I got to sponsor one last year. I'll probably sponsor two of the teams this year and try to coach two or all three of them this year. It just feels different and it feels right. And we work so hard to get to this point in our lives that we can kind of enjoy things with our family and those around us. And I kind of feel like I'm getting there in life. I don't know if that's success or whatever that looks like, but I just absolutely love every minute of it. I wouldn't picture myself doing anything different. And as we kind of get the feel of, you know, lacing those skates up and going to those hockey rinks again, it feels eerie, but it feels amazing at the same time. On a national level, though, there was a few big reports that came out this week, and I really tried to focus in on some of the macro economic factors, as well as some micro ones, but really the macro, what's going on the global scale, how's that going to translate into what's happening on the real estate numbers in Sudbury. The first one that I really, the report that I really gave some credence to this week was the July 22 inflation numbers that came out. It kind of looks like we're pulled slightly back from the 8.1% that we saw in June to the 7.6% in July. A lot of people are thinking that we might have broken the back of the inflation and we're now going to start to retreat and come back with our numbers, which would be absolutely amazing news if that's true, like for what's playing out. I do have to think that you have to realize that these numbers, and I brought this up a few times, and I don't think enough people are talking about this, the idea that inflation's judged on a year over year. So we're comparing this July versus last July. And if you look at July 2021, we were close to 4% when before that, like in April, we were, or March, we were at 2.2%. So inflation really rose a lot last year. So we're going to be dealing with a bigger denominator number, which is going to naturally show that inflation is going to look smaller, even though things are getting more expensive out there. I do feel like, and when I took a little bit of a deeper dive into the inflation numbers, the basket of goods that consumers really care about, sure, gas went down, and that was one of the big drivers on the pullback in this number. I've had a few chats with some clients and friends about that. But I do think that one of the biggest, some of the biggest judges of what affects the average person are things like rents, price of rents, are things like price of take-home groceries. A lot of people are saying like price of food, but that includes like going out to eat and things like that. And a lot of people, when times are tougher, they aren't going out to eat as much, but they still have to go get groceries and bring them home. Those basket of goods are still getting exceptionally expensive month to month. And what that means to me is even with inflation kind of pulling back a little bit, like we are still seeing that the average Joes out there, myself and a lot of people in the community kind of thing, are being affected more so than ever by these inflation numbers. And even though it says, oh, it feels like we've broken the back of inflation and things are going to start to retreat and pull back based off what the Bank of Canada has done, I don't think it's going to get better. And I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon for the average Canadian. So a lot of kind of some optimism and like some of the news articles that are coming out are very optimistic, but I'm trying to be a realistic about what that actually means. And I think it's like, it's a good sign that we're tackling inflation and we're getting to a point where things are coming back, but it's not this rosy picture that we're back to normal now. Let's go out and go on a spending spree. The other article that kind of blew up my Twitter timely to my Twitter followers and really kind of shook home for me is, so Tiff McCallum wrote an opinion piece this week in the National Post, and he recognized it's nice on paper that this inflation is looking in kind of what I just stated. It's nice that it looks like we're getting ahead of inflation, but at the same time, we do have a lot of work to do, and we haven't solved this. And because of fuel was one thing, it's the rest of these basket of goods that are still rising. So there's a lot to be afraid of there. But the one thing that really resonated with me is something I saw get posted where I have to almost look it up, but it was, they broke it down and they said, first they told Canadians to actually go out and spend more money because they're going to keep rates low for the foreseeable future. This is during the pandemic because they said, we need the economy to be stimulated and nothing's open and no one's going out and spending money. So we need people out there spending, buying and things like that. So they encouraged Canadians to take on a lot of debt. And then they said, inflation is here, but they use this term transitory, and that everywhere I would read up, I would always read transitory. And what that basically meant is they thought inflation was here, but it's because things were a little bit expensive now, it's just going to take care of itself. It's going to be gone in a quarter or two. That didn't clearly happen. And then they said that inflation is real and we actually have to get ahead of this and go to the point where we break the camel's back and raise rates as aggressively as they've done, which this is kind of where they're at right now. And they're saying, we're going to get ahead of this and we're going to do what we need to do as the Bank of Canada to make sure that rates are not going to increase any further. And now, reading between the lines of what they're kind of saying is, it's the average workers and their wages are one of the reasons for inflation because we keep on giving these average Joes increases in their pay. And we actually need to stop that, because if we continue to give average Joes increases in their pay, then we're going to increase the cost of everything overall, because if we decide to pay that server over minimum wage or that person that's working at this job over minimum wage, now this company's not going to be able to react and be able to produce the same good for the same price. So they're going to increase their price, and it's going to be in a continuous cycle of inflationary means. So they're actually asking, please try to keep your wages in check and try not to increase them to the price of inflation, which is, it's crazy that they started with there's no inflation, then there is inflation, then it's transitory, and now they're blaming the everyday Joes about the inflation kind of thing. So a lot going on there, and I apologize because I probably spoke at about a million miles an hour going through that, but there's a lot in my mind, and it's so funny in terms of how he's acting. I do think, like, again, it's not his fault the economy ran away. It's not his fault that there was COVID and the government had to pump a bunch of money in the economy. But I do think Tiff has screwed up a lot here. And if I was to judge his performance relative to what he had to deal with, I would think it's pretty poor at this point. That's a long wind of what's going on a macro level. But on a local level, what's going on in real estate right now in Sudbury? So this week we saw 39 sales. We have 21 conditional deals. That 39 sales is compared to 44 sales last week, so we actually dropped about 5 sales. 17 of those 39 sales happened in multiple offers, so just over 40%. 61 new listings to replace those 39 sales. And a total listings of 256. That's, again, a drop of 259 from last week. But that sizable gap continues to remain between new listings and sales, But again, looking at that total listings available, that continues to pull back slightly every week. And yeah, those that follow me know that I made that big bold prediction that we're going to increase to the point where we hit 300. I've been proven wrong, especially over the last month or so on that. But what are my five takeaways from the week? Let's jump right in it, guys. Takeaway number one, as summer comes to a close, there's an odd feeling in this market. The numbers are showing us that there are more new listings than sold every week, and multiple offers are down again. 40% is pretty low compared to where we've been. The Bank of Canada interest rate hikes and the stories in the media of the crumbling real estate market continue to put downward pressure on the marketplace, I think. But there's the oddest feeling that the market may be picking up. There's more buyers and more actions and more competitive environment for buyers and sellers out there in the marketplace. And that's the feeling that I'm getting. And that when I'm talking to the agents that are showing properties and when we have some listings that are out there, it seems like things are busier now. I don't know if it's because summer's coming to an end and more buyers are done with their holidays and they're jumping back into the marketplace. Or are they kind of seeing that there's like an end to these rate increases coming? And because of that, they're feeling more confident about the market in front of them. And I don't know what the reason is, but anecdotally, I will tell you that it feels busier now than it has in the last month or so. The interesting thing I'm going to relate to here is when I follow the numbers and I expect to see things play out in the numbers every week, it doesn't happen that way. And I think back to when we looked at June average sale price, and it didn't reflect what was going on. I'm like, the market doesn't feel like it's a $490,000 average sale. We knew that that's what it was, 500 last month, a few months, and it just doesn't feel like this June was that way. It feels like that average home has really fallen in price. And it wasn't until July that we actually saw that shakeout in the numbers where we went from 490 to 440. So I wonder if we're going to see the numbers reflect the feeling that I have, that odd feeling that things are picking up in the market in the upcoming weeks and months. That was a big, long-winded takeaway, but takeaway two, I often think that there's different markets in real estate. I say this all the time, and I really want people to think in terms of, if they think of Canadian real estate marketplace, a lot of times they think of Vancouver and Toronto, but even in Ontario, average price point, 850,000 or whatever it is, close to 900,000. Sudbury is super localized, and even in Sudbury, there's so many different marketplaces. There's the first-time homebuyers, there's the investor marketplace, there's the waterfront, there's the luxury. There's so many different subsections of this marketplace. This was on full display this week with one of our teammates that listed a place on Pine Hill Road. It's a beautiful home. And Tristan and his team did a great job to prep the heck out of this place and market it. Honestly, like his video that he did behind there, I know I was involved in some of the creative brainstorming behind it, but I think it was one of the best real estate videos I've seen in a long time. We'll make sure we put a link in the story notes to the video. They called it, basically it was a short story about long weekends on the lake in Sudbury. Where else would you want to spend a long weekend in Sudbury but on the lake, right? But the attention and number of showings that place got was truly impressive. It turns out nice homes on the lake are still in very high demand as we round out the summer here. And with more than two dozen showings and the three offers they ended up with, I think they did a great job to get the place done. They have extremely happy sellers. It sounds like they have a really happy buyer that fell in love and got to the opportunity to buy the place. And again, this might be a small sample size, but it's clearly an indication that there's some parts of this marketplace that are in huge high demand. And those dream type homes are probably one of them. Takeaway three for the week. I got into a discussion with Chad, who's doing some of his own analytics on the marketplace, and because we don't have a way to source out what the average sale price is based on our statistical analysis that just pumps the information to us. But he just basically said he takes a look at the sales, puts it into an Excel spreadsheet, adds up the total volume of sales, and divides it by the number of sales. So I did that last week, and I got a number of $427,000 as the average sale price in the last 39 days. The interesting part of that is we had to go through 30 of the 39 sales before we hit a sale price of 500,000. Clearly the buyers that are active in this marketplace right now are shopping in these lower price points. And that new Sudbury bungalow, which we seem to be pretty consistently around 500,000 back when the snow was flying in January and February, that seems to be sitting just above 400 right now. As much as that is a shocking thought though, it kind of is an encouraging sign to me. A marketplace needs first-time homebuyers that have confidence to jump into the market and feel like they have comfort and confidence to buy the prices that they're buying at. That's going to accelerate a pricing floor. And I see this as good news and a good sign ahead that people in this first-time homebuyer price point are the ones that are jumping and getting these first entry-level homes, and they're showing us where the price floors are, and they have confidence in things moving forward. Takeaway four for the week, and this was going to be a little bit of pumping our tires, and it all started because I saw a post on RE/MAX Crown highlighting their dominance in the marketplace from a percentage of the market, and it's true. They do a ton of volume locally. I've got nothing but respect over for what Kathy started and handed the reins over to Marissa Arnold just a couple months ago. But the one caveat with their numbers is the percentage of total agents in the marketplace. There are over 100 agents in a market in a marketplace where we have 450 agents total on our board, and that's including Manitoulin, French River, all these surrounding areas as well. So they're making up over 25% of the entire board. But again, they're doing a great volume of things. But it was interesting to see how they, when they were comparing themselves to other people, they're like, oh, look at our dominance, look at our dominance. So I wanted to just, what I was able to do from the last 7 days was look at how many deals per office. And it was just on the listing end. So whoever had listings that were successfully sold. So out of those 39 listings, I took a peek in and it was true. RE/MAX sold 17 of the 39 of them. So around 40%. Great for them. But I took a little look at our little office and we did six of those 39 deals. That's over 15% of the market share as well. And when I look at the number of agents that we represent, we're only 2% of that entire 450 marketplace. So, as much as dominance in a marketplace is one figure that a lot of people can use, and they can say, look at our number of sold signs and stuff like that, just remember it's every single one of us is running our own individual business. Every single one of us will provide a different level of quality of service and care. We as a smaller office really focus on the quality as opposed to quantity, but we do a great job in what we do, and it was reflected in the numbers this week, and it was really proud for me to see that. If you would have carried, if 6 out of 39 should have equated to us having maybe 80 agents, and we have 11. So again, we're small but mighty, and another reason that I can be proud of this team at Lake City. Takeaway five, though, guys, where does the market go from here? I've talked about this in the past, and my feeling about the market will continue to pull back until the Bank of Canada is going to be finished with the rate increases. This is the point I've been hammering home to you guys, and I said, like, be aware. We know that the Bank of Canada is going to increase again in September, whether it's 0.5 or 0.75, and they could continue to increase again beyond that. But right now, I think that prices were going to continue to fall until we hit that breaking point. But the rationale I was using for the prices falling is that when the Bank of Canada finishes with the rate increases, it's at that point that buyers are going to have confidence in the marketplace. They're going to say, I'm happy with the numbers that we're at. I feel like we're not going to see increases in rates, and I'm okay to jump into the marketplace. With the economy turning and a lot of predictions being floated that we are close to seeing peak inflation, it almost feels like a lot of buyers that have jumped back in the marketplace, they have that confidence already, even though the rate increases haven't stopped yet. There's a lot of buyers that have been sitting on the sideline for the last 18 months, 2 years, or whatever. They've seen the price run-ups, they've seen the multiple offers, they've said, I want nothing to do with this at all. They were just pure frustrated. It seems that these people are the ones that are jumping back in the marketplace when I talked about first-time home buyers kind of showing us and accelerating that price floor. But these are the buyers that are jumping in, they're saying, I understand the house might be worth more, less than 6 months from now or even in a year from now. But I'm buying a house for 5+ years. I'm buying a house that I'm comfortable with the payments I'm paying now. Just as a little caveat to that, I hope that they're projecting even an increase in payments because we know that the BOC is going to continue to increase rates. But I'm buying a house that I could see myself into the long term. And this is kind of big positives for our marketplace. As I talked about earlier, like these are the kind of things that are going to accelerate that discovery of a price floor in the market. And I could be wrong, but I think we're getting close to what's going to be the bottom for our local marketplace. A lot of people are seeing this as a buying opportunity, not something to be afraid of. A really interesting side note is that Blackstone Investment Group, who are basically a North American investment company, they've actually disclosed this week that they're putting together a fund of $50 billion to scoop up cheap homes during what they see as a buying opportunity. Again, I might be more bearish, which is like kind of a negative, or more realistic than most agents that are out there. And I think that this economic downturn is going to take a few years to cycle through the economy. I don't think if I was a purchaser in the marketplace, an investor, I wouldn't be buying and factoring in price appreciations in our local marketplace at all, at least for the next couple of years. But I think that we're seeing this as a great time to buy if you like the house, if you like your payments, and you want to be there for the long term, jump in. Trying to time the marketplace is nothing but a fool's game. Well, that's my big bold predictions this week, Sudbury. Thanks for listening for that last 15 minutes or so, whoever decided to stay with me. If you have listened to me for this entire time, please like, share, pass this podcast to somebody out there in Sudbury, and maybe I can get one more ear on me every single week. So thank you for spending the time with me, and we'll see you next week, Sudbury.